Hey, good morning. Good morning, my friend. Skip here. 9:03 a.m. Again, from the beaches of Galveston, Texas. This is our last full day of spring break. We head back tomorrow morning. It will take us 2 days to drive home. Cheaper to drive than to fly, but it does take some time. We will be home by Saturday evening, though. I do hope all things are well with you on this Thursday, the 14th of March. Sounds like we're getting some much-needed rain up where I live. I'm sitting here at a rather large picture window, staring at a kind of overcast ocean. But, man, I do love the ocean. Something on my mind, which is the way this works. Woke up thinking about it, have been thinking about it. Finding meaning in many ways is the quest for an authentic identity. My hope, I don't really pray anymore, but my sincerest hope is that what I do here in some way helps at least one person find some authenticity in their life. Because the more I look around the world, the more I see that we are not authentic, or we have learned to not be authentic. And the more I talk to people, the more I watch people's behavior, the more I see that it's really this quest for identity that is really at the core of what it means to be human. I mean, think about those great existential questions. Who am I? What is my purpose? What am I doing here? At the core, those are identity questions. They're also the questions of finding meaning. And so, I think I learned a long time ago that what we're really about is the act of catharsis and healing, which then develops identity. The act of learning from our mistakes, the act of self-awareness, being self-reflective, that can lead to an authentic identity. The acts of kindness, the acts of generosity, the acts of compassion, that can lead to who we really are. Excuse me. I mean, think about how often you've probably said to yourself, I think we all have, I know I have, if people really knew me, if people really would just take the time to know who I really am. Because I think on some level, my friends, we do know our own authenticity. What we're not aware of is the stuff we put on top of it, thinking that that stuff, those actions, those personality traits that we acquire from the false reality, we think that those are as legitimate as our authentic self, and they're not. But because we're not aware of that collectively, we go out of our way to boost ego. We go out of our way to seek external validation. We go out of our way to depend on other people for our identity, other things other than us, jobs, maybe being a parent or a grandparent. And those things are very important, don't get me wrong. But I'm talking in finding meaning about something much deeper, something much more profound. So I want to talk probably fairly briefly this morning. It's a little late. Everyone's going to get out of bed here in a minute, probably. Or not. They've been sleeping in. A lot of sleeping in going on. Just all the ways in which we think we can acquire identity. And we're kind of left cold by it. We're kind of left scratching our head. People And hear me, my friends, hear me. There's nothing wrong with getting an education or getting the job you like or finding a group of people in a religion or a self-help program that support you. Nothing wrong with that. But it won't give you what you're looking for. It can give you lots of good things, right? The ability to go on a vacation, the ability to reach out to a friend, all really important stuff. But what's beyond that is the question. Where do we find who we truly are to answer those deep existential questions? And for me anyway, and I think for a lot of people, I've had to reject a lot of things to get to the point where I have finally understood that it's not the circumstances external to me. It's not the job. It's not the fact that I'm a dad of four great kids. It's not the fact that I'm the husband of a wonderful woman. Those things are great. But it really has to do with deep down my motivations, deep down my agenda. And for a long time, those motivations and that agenda was about ego, right? I climbed the religious corporate ladder because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. You know, I'll even go back further than that. You know, when I was an adolescent, began experimenting with drugs and alcohol, I did that because I thought that's what you're supposed to do. That's what we do. We do the things that we think we're supposed to do. We do the things that are told to us, our expectations. When I entered into religious life, it was quite clear that there were expectations that you climb some form of corporate ladder. You start at the small church, you go to the county seat church, you go to the big college town church, blah, 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 blah. I mean, those were named expectations of what it meant to be a success. The same is true in any secular job I had too, right? You're a worker. Then you're maybe a shift manager or a supervisor. Then you become a corporate manager. And it's expectations. Or even like with self-help programs, you know. People say, well, you got to have so much sobriety before you can do this or that. I mean, I understand there's rules, and I understand that there are procedures. But those rules and procedures are derived from a place where people don't really know themselves. And so, therefore, we are always trying to acquire identity through vehicles, through familial relations, through corporate relations, through religious relations. If we were to name who we believe we really are, would we be able to say, well, we're kindness, we're love? Probably not. We would use the external identifiers, would we not? Oh, I'm a dad of four. I'm a substitute teacher. I'm a husband. All great things, hear me. But if you notice, if I describe myself that way, they're all external. Who am I really? Becomes the question of identity. So I've been walking around this little town. That's not so little. There's a lot of people here, Galveston, Texas. And I see a lot of people so hungry to be seen, you know, attention-seeking behaviors, attention-seeking ways of dress, ways of presenting oneself. And it's not just here, folks. It's everywhere. It's in the little town I live in. My TV just went off mute. Give me just a second, my friends. Maybe if I can get the TV to mute itself. I can't even get the the old guy who can't run the TV. Well, you know, there you have it. The news came on in the middle of the podcast because I didn't mute the TV right. And it was just more people trying to identify themselves as something. And I know I say this a lot, but hear me. There's nothing wrong with standing up for what's just, what's right, and what's true. But that standing up for it has to be based in something deeper. There's nothing wrong with being religious or belonging to a self-help group or, you know, whatever it is. But more often than not, and I would say it's even rare, people come to those things not from an internal sense of need, but from an external sense of expectation. Let me say that again. If our identity comes from an internal sense of self, that authentic self, that love is important, kindness is important, more than important, it is a way of life, then I think that something like religion or politics takes on a deeper, nuanced, richer meaning. If we start externally and think that we're going to find who we truly are in these things, we will become disappointed. And, you know, I know for the past 50 years, people have been scratching their heads about why religions are dwindling overall. And that's because that people are figuring out that the answer isn't the religion. The answer isn't the politics. The answer to finding one's identity is found within your capacity to love, to be self-aware, to be kind, to be generous, to think beyond your own needs. Not that your needs aren't important, but to not put yourself above others. Because when you put yourself above others, that's an ego mechanism. That's an egoistic thing. It's a way of living that is egocentric. And I'm using the word ego as the false self, as Richard Rohr does in his books. And you need to read Richard Rohr if you haven't. Falling Upward is a great book. We develop these persona, these egos, these ways of thinking about life that somehow enable us to lose our true identity. And it's not some evil plan. It's just the way we've made it. So, true identity is found, I'm convinced. True identity is found in acts of kindness and acts of love and acts of generosity and in acts of true intimacy and acts of real trust with friends, with family. Now, a lot of times those are rare because the vast majority of people don't know their true self, don't know their true identity. I mean, go walk on a beach, go walk through a town, and you will see behavior that screams from people, look at me, look at me, look at me, right? Look at what I'm wearing. Look at the expensive jewelry. Look at the expensive car. Look at the expensive house I own. Look at me. And it's not that they're bad people. It's that's how they are identifying themselves. They want you to give them identity externally. Anyway, true identity is found in love, kindness, generosity. Just wanted to share that with you. Keep being kind, keep loving, keep forgiving, forgiving yourself. Know that you have extreme value, but you are not more valuable than your neighbor. You're not more valuable than anyone else, nor less. Thanks, guys. I'll probably give you, I might give one tomorrow morning. We'll see what time I get up. Take care. Hey, send good traveling mercies to me and the family as we journey back home. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.